seems I've heard that before, that they had to work 48 hours before they got the overtime.
But then what is the other time? Just regular time?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Again, so why wouldn't you just say that you're 48, right? If, you know, I don't get it, and it's causes me a concern just by stating those things, right? It doesn't look like a coach's policy.
As long as we've got straight what the overtime consists of, I mean, is it regular pay or is it time and a half?
Yeah.
Once you get into overtime. So I think that's another consideration.
It is the time and a half. Just according to what it says here in D.
Yeah.
After that, 44 hours for office workers.
So I think, so I get the impression that the way they set it up was that for those 4 hours in between, then it'd be regular pay.
Yeah.
And then over, once you get past the 44, it's time and a half.
That's right.
So that should have worked. I think it worked in the past, but it is overtime, but it's just a matter of question of what rate of pay are you getting.
Yeah, because you set an employee up the 37 and a half hours, so that's your regular work week. Yeah, I don't know what you want to call it if they work 40 hours, that other 2.5, because they're not getting time and a half, right?
No.
So it's still, it's over, and it's a regular waged extra time,
right.
Yeah.
Is what it is. As long as it's
enough. Councillor Hassman has the wording for you.
No.
Let's see what the Employment Standards Act says and how it explains.
Well, the question is, too, with that, you're right. I mean, the Employment Standards sets sort of the minimum. I mean, the township can make it a better situation, I mean, for their employees if they wish, as long as they meet the standards of, they can supersede those standards.
I think just to see if there's some logical reasoning that we're not seeing here, but it does make sense that anything over what you're expecting your regular work hours to be would be overtime. But
so basically, anything between your regular hours and the mandatory time and a half hours that's allowed, say the 44, you will receive regular pay. Is that
like, if you're okay then all, I'm getting, I think Councilor Ryland's suggesting maybe that be time and a half, or
yes.
Since it's overtime, yeah.
Well, that's what it is, in my view. It's black and white. It's regular time or it's overtime. There isn't a in-between window. And if you know, legislation permits it, that's fine, but I guarantee you we wouldn't get any trouble with having a policy that ends up being more fair to the employee. Nobody's ever going to complain about that. Not the employee, not the employer, not, you know, as long as we agree, and certainly not the province.
Well, I guess like... different employers other than us would prefer the other, so that they get those extra few hours and they don't have to pay them until they...
But does that strike you as fair?
No, but that's what I'm saying. So maybe...
I agree. I understand your point of view. I'm just saying I don't think it's justifiable.
No, I don't agree either.
And so, I think it would reflect, you know, some respect for our employees and everything else, and that'd be positive. I don't know what it would cost us. Obviously, we'd need to do a detailed analysis to figure that out, but I can't imagine it's all that much, right?
But I'm thinking big companies probably think, oh, yeah, well, I don't have to pay you until you work the 48 hours, right?
Not the big company I worked for.
Because of budget implications. So that, you know, running over a little bit, and instead of, so there's that 4 to 8 hour leeway.
Sure.
And so now you're going to offer that as time off, possibly as one of the options.
Yeah, that's up on the top of page, whatever it is, 4.
So now you're talking quite a few extra days off per year.
Yeah, without knowing what they work. I mean, when I've asked Roshan about this kind of thing before, without him ever showing me anything, he has a log that would tell us.
Yes.
Because he uses it for payroll purposes, right?
Correct.
So possibly he could identify, just from the existing data that he has, so how much money would that cost us if we were to pay overtime rather than regular time, especially because now we've just gone through a whole year. I mean, maybe that's possible to tell what that is. Is that in a spreadsheet or anything like that? Or
I'm
that?
Not sure what he uses for accounting software for payroll. And then, I do believe he also keeps spreadsheets separately, but I haven't seen them before.
I recall... him talking to me about one day in his office, I don't know, last year or something like that. But Without, again, I didn't see it. I didn't ask to see it. I just, you know, was trying to understand. It wasn't this issue specifically. It was just, how did this work? Right? I think I got into this in terms of sick time and other things as well. Like, what kind of records do we have to support the fact that you did or did not have that much accumulated sick time, or, you know, what days you took off and all the rest of that stuff. I know what the statutory requirements were for my employer and everything else, and it was very painful, but it was strictly observed because it led into all these factors. If there was a person complaining that you didn't pay me what I was deserving, right? And again, I think it's a, I hope it's a small bone, but I mean a bone that we throw to employees and say, you know, I think this is a benefit to you, and it's fair. I, that's what it always comes down to my head. What's fair? That's fair.
Okay, I think made a note of it. I had a couple other points just quickly. I guess. And maybe because of the cutting and pasting, I'm not sure. There's a reference to 7I within 7I. I'm not sure that it has to stay there. And in K, I'm wondering there, since we have it in the definition, we have part-time permanent as well, or on a regular basis. So I'm wondering if that should be included with the 4% vacation pay. If we go back to the different types of workers, part-time employee in 3.2. It talks about part-time employee, and it has on a regular basis permanent who works less than now 35 hours a week. So I'm wondering if that should be included in K as well. Just as a separate category. The one that worried me was 9E with our special situation at the transfer station. And I'm not sure how this is set up right now. So, and Carter, you spoke to it before, but another day in lieu of, but then the question came up, do we have somebody to fill in? If he takes a day off, we have to bring in another employee. So does that apply to the transfer station?
No, I don't believe that section would apply, but it should be written that it doesn't apply to that position if it's not referenced elsewhere.
I recall the conversation being that if you already have whatever he has, 2 or 3 days a week off anyway, giving you another day is like meaningless.
Right.
At least, obviously not in every situation for every person, but at least, you know, if I've already got days off in the week, I don't really need another one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's my recollection anyhow, so.
And the last page, I had 17, the very last paragraph, we talked about it before. We'd added, or as determined by counsel, rather than just the supervisor.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I think we're in a situation probably where we're looking at another deferral until we get these things.
Can I just
make you have it wrapped
and
up?
And that one too, Carly, and that one 17?
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound right. The employee working remotely may request their immediate. Should there be a word in there?
Yeah.
I think Councilor Ryland went in for that last time.
I did.
Okay. May request out their immediate supervisor or something.
May can you request?
It'll be reworked. Was there anything else on that particular topic?
The top of page 9, where it says the township shall purchase equipment, I just changed the word purchase to provide. And again, on the basis that everybody that we know that works like that has already been provided with equipment for working remotely, a laptop. Right? In other words, this would imply that we would buy yet another one, which nobody, not the employee either, would want, because one PC is a problem, two is twice as many problems. So and can I go back a page to actually these pages, I guess. Yeah, so page 8, which isn't numbered, but it is the previous page. In section 15 C2, under training to maintain professional accreditation. I would like to change, or just insert the words "once approved by council" at the beginning of the verbiage underneath there. In other words, it would be "once approved by council, this training is provided as a requirement for the employee's current position on township property or away at facility training." Because otherwise it implies that it's a given right off the bat.
So I guess my question would be, like, Chris, our CBO, he has to attend chapter meetings to receive, I'm not sure if it's called points or whatnot, towards his certification. Is that something that he would need to predetermine with council, like provide a schedule as to when he'll be away at these meetings for approval, or?
Well, what if we changed it instead of from council? I mean, it could be approved by the clerk administrator. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be involved in trivial things by any means. But, I mean, if you throw in have somebody who traveled very extensively, I mean, none of my travel expenses were cheap. So my point being that, you know, if they throw in meals and travel distances and hotels and others, that can be substantial, especially cumulatively over the year. I don't have any objection to him doing the training. I'm just saying that it needs some pre-approval, and I don't know if council thinks differently. I would be perfectly fine if Ina said that was okay, right? But somebody needs to. And I don't know that it has to follow a form or anything else. I don't think so. Certainly, when I did this, when I went on trips, I had to have approval from my boss to do it. I don't think ever I actually had to produce a piece of paper to show that I had approval. But if I didn't show up at work one day and my boss says, "Where are you?" and I say, "I'm in Barbados, I think I got a problem." So
yeah.
Now, I know Chris isn't doing that. My point is simply that we don't want it to be so open-ended that it's just a matter of fact that it's done.
Right. So his building has a training budget as well, and his mandatory professional training would be included in that. So
okay.
Once council passes the budget, that's kind of another tool to say, okay, you're approved for this amount, and then he needs to stay within that budget.
Okay, so maybe we just say that then, is that provided it's within budget, right?
Yep.
Well, I know you want to be more specific with that part too, but C covered council approved training at the beginning of C.
Included in the annual budget.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that covers what we're talking about.
I think the only thing there, the only thing is, like, that he notifies somebody that he's going to be away.
Right, that's important.
That's the only thing.
Which is common practice now.
Is that he notifies that I'm going to be away for so many days or whatever.
Well, we could change it to just provided it's approved by your supervisor. I mean, is Ina Chris's supervisor? I don't know if that's the right word.
Yes, she would. Chris is.
He's sort of a separate ballgame, Chris.
Yeah, he's
a
separate department, but he reports to Ina.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not trying to make it onerous at all, but just, it's not carte blanche. She can't just disappear and say, well, listen, I'm on a training course for the next 3 days. Well, we need to know for a variety of reasons, and one of those is expense management, right? And again, from doing this repeatedly, it can add up to a lot of money. So
you can ask for the breakdown, but I mean, I will run with the wording. It seems to cover it.
Okay.
It's a long follow-up, as you said. So.
Well, and we're just a trigger that goes before, you know, the money is spent, that's all. Right? In other words, if I'm Chris, I come over to Ina and say, next Wednesday or Thursday, I got to go to X to do Y, and that's okay. Right? But just not carte blanche is the way it reads to me right now, so...
So does that go through the treasurer at some point as well? Like, so
I don't know whether he makes a decision on it. He just points out, I guess, or keeps a record of what's being done. But I don't know what Chris.
Yeah, so Chris would work with Roshan during budgeting season to determine what amounts he needs in his budget to go to his training courses.
Mm-hmm. But like when a course comes up, does he sort of check with Roshan that just double checking, you know, the price of the course has gone up this year. So I just want to say, I can't remember how much was in the budget for that.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. But,
Or when the bills come in and it's over budget, then Roshan would...
You would have to do an amendment to the budget.
I'm sure, because he's got to be responsible for his budget.
Yeah.
You know, like he sets what it's going to cost him, what he figures it's going to cost him, so... He has to, you know, I'm sure he has a good idea of what he's spending and where he's going.
Okay, so we'll look for a deferral for those changes to be made.
Okay. Could I just make two more?
No.
Well, okay.
I'll be quick. You already know what one of them is, so we still don't have performance appraisals or performance reviews listed in here, although for the first time, perhaps it was there all along, I did notice that there's oblique references to it. In 12C, it mentions no employee member of council or local board member may in position to be responsible for the handling of confidential information related to the performance or evaluation of an immediate relative. And then up at the top of the next page in 13C, at the end of that paragraph, it says that the seniority will be conditional upon reports by the department supervisors of satisfactory service, which will be kept on file at the office.
Excellent.
So the fact that, pardon?
It's completed. Good. It's in there.
It doesn't, there is no requirement in here to do one.
You just read it, though.
Pardon?
You just read the line, the supervisor is going to give a report.
In an oblique way, yes, it's mentioned, but it doesn't prescribe that it needs to be done.
Well, I have some question, as I said before, with an individual performance measurement, the value of that, to be honest. And then I have a problem with an outside source doing an evaluation, whether it be a supervisor, which would make more sense, and certainly not council. So, and I think you were talking before about an individual performance appraisal. And as I say, I have some questions with the value of that. And I don't know how we set up the other. We used to have, as I said, went back prior to 2010, but I think it was done internally. I know the council never evaluated the staff.
Sure.
It was somebody who was working here, so the clerk would evaluate the deputy clerk and the people working within the office. The road super would evaluate, but that was how it was done. And I don't know whether, again, you want to go into that again, who's going to evaluate whom and by what criteria. And I know you bring it up each time, and I'll put it up to council. We're going to put it to rest, or what are we going to do with it?
So, put a proposal together in writing, and we look at it, and how that would be structured, and who's going to do what, and then we can determine if we, you know, how we go from there.
I can do that, sure.
Yeah, because it could be beneficiary to the employee, you know, if it's structured right, you know, they may say something and say, oh, okay, we didn't realize that. And so it could bring out some helpful information. So.
And it's useful as a reward, too. I mean, I think people think I'm using this as a club. I'm not. I mean, a performance review is equally valuable in both directions, that we reward you for good behavior. Only once in 40 years of working did I have my boss disagree with my assessment of myself and raise it up and gave me the highest level, and it was like, really? Anyway, but so, I mean, there is those, and that can be very rewarding and encouraging to an employee to continue to perform at an above average level, right? Mm-hmm. So this isn't, I'm going to beat you with this because I don't like you. This is, we're going to look at your performance objectively, both you and me, right? If I'm your boss. And
okay, that's a little different than the individual now, you're saying.
No, I do.
Are you setting up a second tier evaluation of the boss and the employee before you talked about an individual
Completely.
Appraisal.
Yes, I am talking about that.
Well, okay. Then why would the boss sit down with you? If you're doing your own, you hand it to your boss, but then what's the boss going to do with something you said about yourself? Are you sure this is what you want to say? It's just
The boss is free to agree or disagree with the content of the appraisal.
And to do what with it?
To agree or disagree.
And where does it go? As I say, I want to look at the value of this.
I don't know of another organization of this size or even way smaller that doesn't do performance appraisals. I really don't. That's not to say that I know about every business. I don't. But I think it's incredible to think that we don't do it. And according to what Anna has said in council meetings before, we stopped doing them prior to her working here or around the time that she joined the organization. And again, I think you're making this out to be much too big of a thing, but
out too much of a thing, sir. You're the one that keeps bringing it up, and I suggest what Councillor Kekkonen just said. It sounds really good. You come up with what you think works in and present it to council.
Okay.
Let's go from there.
Okay.
And we don't have to keep talking about it meeting after meeting and saying that it doesn't exist. So let's see what you're proposing.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Number two is just that I wanted to see a costing of what the increase in vacation entitlements is as well. Some backup for it, because I think the cost is very substantial or could be very substantial. I understand from Ina and Carly to some degree that obviously we don't have many long tenured employees I think Ina's the longest. I don't know. Did Greg join before Ina? I have
no
clue.
Greg or Chris.
Sorry?
Greg or Chris.
Okay. And
I'm not sure. Maybe
approximately
so
how many years? Do you know?
Chris is approaching 9
okay.
this March.
So, and clearly, the lion's share of the cost is somebody getting up to 30 and 40 years. Those costs are substantial. And if nothing else, it represents a major cost, a potential cost to the township. And I know there isn't a direct cost because we're paying them anyway, but there's a loss of productivity because every day that you're not here, vacation or illness or whatever, I mean, somebody's got to cover or work falls behind it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about any employee. So, I mean, I think that's very substantial. I think it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? But it has to be tailored to the employees that are here and how long they've been working. And, okay, so if we don't even have anybody at 10 years, the cost isn't as great because clearly the longer they stay, the greater our cost. So,
and as I said before, what we're trying to do with this, and I know it was revised a bit by staff because it was in place since 2004, it's to retain staff long-term. That's another thing that we're looking for. And if you start tampering, and that's why I find it really interesting, maybe you can explain to me why you're looking at overtime and working for the employee, and now you're looking at taking away some of the vacation time.
No, I'm not taking it away. I'm simply not agreeing with the enhancement to it.
Right, so I guess my question is, which side are you really sitting? Are you working for the employees or you're not? Are you looking at long-term employees staying with us? What's your purpose in talking about the employee or the vacation time as opposed to overtime? Coming in at right away is overtime, time and a half, or whatever you're going to do. I can't understand where you're coming from.
To be perfectly frank, I think I'm simply trying to do what I believe is fair.
Right.
Right? And I don't think that answer is like across the board on any particular view of the world. But I don't see how we can increase very substantially the vacation entitlements of our employees without knowing what the cost is.
Well, I see the cost, but I mean, you'll see, and the Councillor Haskin referred to it before, I think it works out to 5 days from what we had from the original, once they reach a certain level. I think that's what you talked about, 5 extra days. When it clicks in, because it was talking about, I think it starts in around 15 years as opposed to 20 years. There was a gap between the 10-year and the 20-year, and now I think 15 is worked in. 13 is also in there because they're doing it incrementally now.
Well, I see what you mean. The entitlement of a vacation days on time worked. Okay. I thought Nick was talking more on banked
building up of banked hours?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, I understand. That's, again, it's one of these balance things where you want to keep good employees by offering them. And we know from some hirings that they wanted more than the 2 weeks because they're just starting and they want, that was part of their wanting to hiring on. So it's kind of one of those things where you set it somewhere and it may look attractive to a new employee, and I kind of think it may be better than some, the entitlement, but I think it's one of those things where, sort of Dave's argument a little bit, you take from one area, but you expect them to give another kind of thing. So, I don't know. It's a whole new ball game. All I could say is prep your documentation, as Mike said, and we'll look it over. And but Dave's argument there of why would you do your own report on yourself, that's an argument I had at one time, and then I heard an argument on that, and I thought, well, it's bringing out information kind of thing, like what the employee in rating their own themselves, because there'd be certain questions in there that might induce information, and say such as, well, I would really like to better myself by be given this opportunity kind of thing. So if it's done right, I think it could be a benefit to everybody.
It's the way that in most places anyway, it's set up as a hierarchy that you can do that already without your performance. You have an immediate supervisor. So that's the person you talk to. And you go from there. Rather than saying, well, let me fill this out. I'll tell you all my skills. Why can't you just go and talk to them?
Probably in some cases, employees don't feel that open relationship toward their supervisor. They just assume, go complain about it to somebody else. I'm not talking about this department at all or McKellar Township, but some may just complain in the background, and another employee may say to them, well, go talk to your supervisor. They may help
you.
See,
I'm noticing a change in the demographic because I'm seeing employees now coming in, and they're being very upfront about it. And they're not afraid in talking to other people. They can write up and say, this is what I'm worth. Mm-hmm. This is what I should be getting.
Yeah, that's,
and they've got other places to go if you don't provide it.
That's a sign of the time.
Right, it is.
Yeah.
I just think that, for sake of time and...
the document that Carly has in our package already actually has a whole performance section, which I would argue really belongs in a performance review, not in a development plan. And we've talked about that before. I mean, there's things like that. And I think that's a really simple way of doing it, is provided that we know what the skills are that we believe a job needs to do, which I hope, and I've never yet seen, at least I don't think I've ever seen, a job description for any of our employees. But again, I would hope that that type of information, at least the categories kind of thing, like you have in the middle here under the performance assessments, I hope that that is also referenced in the job descriptions, and perhaps not in detail, but with enough to understand that, and for me to understand my job, then my job description should say, you have to do this, this, and this, and that's more task-focused. I'm not saying that, but just in terms of the accountabilities of what I'm responsible for. And I like this, and this is a simple way, and that's not uncommon at all to do that and to build it in tick boxes. So I give it, we can do it with letters or numbers or whatever we want to say that I think I do this really well. I think I could do better on this. I think there's these other things. And
but
again,
the job descriptions, and I'm surprised you haven't seen them.
Yeah.
When I first came in here, I asked IANA for them. I got them all except for the CBO.
Okay.
Because it wasn't up to date, but they're all here, as far
okay.
as I know. So
yeah,
I think they're available
too.
And
we got them.
We actually received them as counsel.
Because I have them at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, get them, because that makes
with this term of counsel,
that.
Did you get it, or are you talking about before?
What was that?
Did you get them in this term of counsel?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we went through all of that. We wanted the job descriptions.
What month was this?
Figure five. Should be there somewhere.
It was
you
in,
may have been
it was
absent.
A long time. It was in near the beginning.
You might have been absent.
Yeah.
That
I
meeting or something, possibly, yes.
I was absent in the November meeting last year, so like a year and a half or 14 months ago anyhow, and perhaps that's why. And I don't want to create work for anybody to do these things. That's not my intention either. It's just to make sure that our things are aligned so that it's fair. And honestly, I guess I'm using this word a lot tonight. To me, it's about fairness. But, I mean, fairness cuts both ways, too. In terms of the vacation entitlements, we have to be fair to our ratepayers as well as to our staff, right? And I don't see council or me being involved in performance reviews. I really don't.
Oh, no.
So just to be clear about
that.
Yeah, I don't have any issue that way. I'm just saying that we need to have a process.
Okay, so do up your thing.
Pardon?
Do up your thing and bring
okay.
it.
I will. Okay. I'm going to steal some of Carly's things from here, but anyhow. So,
so this is Councillor Pekkanen's resolution. You want a deferral until the human resources.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in favor of that.
All in favor of the deferral. Okay.
Thank you.
Resolution 24-18, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Ryland, be a result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, is hereby given bylaw number 2024-04, being a bylaw to establish policies for the closure and sale of road allowance, first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open council, this 9th day of January 2024. Discussion? So this, okay, Councillor Ryland?
On paragraph 9, we use the word convent, and I think we mean covenant. It's just a typo, that's all. Right in the last line.
Right, that was an interesting one.
Yeah. Well, I read it, laughed when I read it. I thought, I don't think that's the word we meant, but unless we're sending people to a convent, that could be part of their employee development, you know. So.
Sorry, did you say paragraph 9?
Paragraph 9, yeah.
Yeah, last line.
It starts with prohibition or restrictive convent on the title of Lance. I know it's a typo. I'm not making fun of anybody. It's just a typo. But
and also, there's a typo on
Procedures for road allowance. Charlie, public meeting number 4 to declare.
Number 4, sorry, okay.
Oh, yes.
Whereabouts, Debbie? Sorry, I'm missing.
Number 4, it says public meeting to, it should say declare the land surplus. The heading of it?
There's actually 2 number 4s.
That's okay.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
There is.
All of a sudden, I'm asking, wait a minute, I can't see that it says that, so.
Okay, so there's another typo.
Well, those are just minor.
Yeah, they're just typos. I mean, that's fine.
And a lot of changes have been made already technically. And now this would be just going forward then, right? The ones that are in process?
Correct.
Okay. So you've already made an amendment to, I think, a sale of real property bylaw now, 2000, what is it?
2011, 24.
So that still stays in effect. It just doesn't deal with...
Correct.
Road allowances, yeah.
The only bylaw that would be changed is the notice bylaw, 2003-04. So we're deleting a part of that bylaw because the notice requirements for road allowance closures are in this new bylaw as the 2003 one's outdated.
So we're okay with that, eh? Digitally posted? Before it said it had to be in a newspaper?
Yeah.
Sorry, say that again?
Where it says digitally published with a local news publication.
Right,
yes.
They picked that up.
Before it had, we didn't say that, right?
Yeah.
And we were concerned, so we're okay with
yes.
it being digital?
Yeah, yeah. Because we still want the applicant to put out information to the public, and newspapers are still being digitally published.
Yeah.
And it also gives them accountability because they're having to pay for the advertisement.
Yeah.
So.
No, but I thought there was a problem before that because it said written publications or something.
Oh,
corporation
yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
Still is.
Lots of municipalities are supporting the bylaw we passed, though, so hopefully legislation will change soon.
Okay. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-19, moved by Councilor Zelak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-05, being bylaw to authorize the borrowing of money to meet current expenditures of the Council of the Township of McKellar, the first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council this 9th day of January 2024. Discussion? He hasn't changed that figure for few years,
no.
Right? It's the same, and he doesn't usually draw on it unless he has to.
What guidance would you use if the CIBC was to say we have to pay 25% interest?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not, but I'm just playing devil's advocate. In other words, this doesn't prescribe any framework for that, and I'm not nervous about it because I know it happens all the time, but it is interesting that we don't have any guidance in this bylaw about how that would work, but anyway,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's not even worth talking about, but what rule of thumb would you use when you were signing whatever instruments of debt that we were going to sign as to whether or not the interest rate was acceptable to the town?
And as far as I know, as long as I can remember anyway, they've always gone with CIBC. So there's nothing to say that you take the best rate available or wherever you go.
But that isn't really my point. I think I understand why we're using CIBC. But what if we came back and found out later that you did agree to, you and Roshan both agreed to a 25% interest rate, which would kill us, and all the rest. That's my. It just seems, again, to be extremely open-ended, right?
Yeah, we're not talking the pool now.
No, I know. No, I know.
No, I know.
God knows that'd be 50%. But anyway,
I know what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm not trying to beat a dead horse or anything like that, but I think we really should have some kind of, and I think the right word is guidance to you and Roshan about what range of interest rates we would expect to pay on that.
Well, is it possible to a situation where you don't just sign a blank check, you come back to council and say these are the rates. I mean, right now,
yeah.
I mean, the assumption is that we just go out and sign it no matter what it is. Well, no,
yeah.
Come back to council.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think if it came to this, that he had to go and borrow the money,
I think
then he would
way.
Get all the rates and say, like,
sure,
this is what they're going to charge us. So.
No, it doesn't say in here anywhere, because really that money is just being borrowed to for your normal operations
right.
of the municipality. Not special loans out and beyond. Now, I don't know whether that actually specifies that in there.
And then it's just until taxes are collected.
Yeah.
So when
yeah.
you're setting your budget, then you're going to make sure that you're covering these temporary borrowing costs with the budget, no matter what the interest rate was.
What if at the bottom I guess it's paragraph one, at the bottom of the page here anyhow, that we simply said, and that the... borrowing details are provided to council upon completion. In other words, I don't want to put a prescriptive limit or anything, or a prescriptive...
no, you really can't.
I don't think that's appropriate, but I mean simply that we ask for information to be conveyed to council upon completion.
But doesn't it say here at the bottom on one, it says,
yeah.
for the sums borrowed plus interest at a rate to be agreed upon from
to
time
be
to time?
Agreed
time.
Upon,
yeah.
So you have to make an agreement.
Yeah.
You need two partners.
Yeah.
Understood. But still open.
Yeah, it's just hard to limit to put an actual figure in there. I mean, to say don't go above 8% or something. I don't.
Do you know? Do we borrow at time? I mean, is that logical?
I think so, but again, with Roshan, I haven't signed anything.
Okay.
Over the time I've been here, and I think it's a situation where he would bring it back. He's very. Meticulous that way and show us what's going on, show us the figures.
Okay.
And
let's just leave it. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I would think at this point, because he has a concern too, and I think it'd be coming up at some point with the proposal from Belvedere that was provided to us in the past. He's looking at it long term too, and he says there are some things to look at there. So I think he'll be coming back to us and letting us know before anything is signed.
I don't know that we've ever used bankers' acceptances, which are a really old way of borrowing. It's old English banking. But in my experience in issuing those notes at the bank was that they were inevitably much cheaper. And I've never had a discussion with Roshan about it. I don't recall having seen that, but you get favorable rates by borrowing that way. In other words, because what the bank in this case would do is go out and sell those on the market. They become a negotiable instrument, and because of that, then the bank and the township benefits from more beneficial rates. And I know we say it in here, but I don't know if we've ever asked them would they do that.
Yeah, I don't.
So
have to look into it. My understanding is, and I know banks look after banks.
Of course, that's what they're there for. But yeah.
The municipalities, to me, they have a better rate, prime rate, as you said. And but as far as what you're saying, even going beyond that, I don't know what he negotiates with them, so I have to look into it.
Would you object to me talking to Roshan about it? I'm not sure. It's a particularly, the best word to use is an arcane way. This was done in the 1700s and 1800s, was the common way of borrowing money, was a banker's acceptance, which I could get into great detail. I won't, it's boring as hell, but inevitably... major multinationals borrowed money that way simply because they got a better rate. And I think, I mean, on the basis that at least our documentation says this, I'd be curious to ask if they would entertain that, if it could save us some money. Right? And I know this is short term. We would do this up until after April, like once we get our first tax collection. Is that kind of the duration of the borrowing?
We have never had to borrow.
No.
Never?
Never.
Okay.
So, like, you know, the township.
Okay, so then it's a moot point anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just in case.
Yeah. Okay, well, then let's forget it. Just pass this as is. So.
Yeah, because we'll borrow from our reserve accounts.
Yeah.
Before we go to the bank, just to save the interest.
This is just common practice for every municipality in Ontario, according to the Municipal Act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We do this every year.
Call the question. All in favor? Not old, scary. I did read it.
Yes.
Never. Resolution 24-20, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskin, be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-06, being a bylaw to levy certain interim rates, taxes, and charges for the year 2024, a first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open council on the 9th day of January 2024. Discussion.
Standard yearly process, and
yeah.
It's based on what taxes you paid last year. Your first bill will be based on that for this coming year, and then unfortunately it will be updated your second bill. And I don't see any real good news coming, so
if we get a readjustment or something from MPAC at some point.
Make things more look realistic.
Call the question then. All in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 24-21, moved by Councillor Heckinen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-07, being a bylaw to set tax ratios for municipal purposes for the year 2024, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open council, 9th day of January 2024. Discussion? Okay.
So this one here, I believe most in previous times was passed closer to when budget discussions were taking place in case the council decided they wanted to change any of the ratios according to the ranges set out in the Municipal Act.
Yeah.
Not hasn't always been that way, but from a few examples that I could find, older examples, that it was not one of the first bylaws as the two previous ones that we just read that that actually gets passed later, so that there you have that opportunity during budget discussions to determine if you want to change the ratios according to the what are the ranges in the Municipal Act.
I would have a question for Carly. Have these tax ratios being changed in the last?
No, not in the last few years.
Is that right? I always thought that ratio for commercial property was a lot higher at one time.
It was at one time. It was 1.7 or 8.
Yeah, it was quite a large amount more.
Yeah.
So at some point it's come down to that. And
but it's been this way for quite a while, as Carly
said.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I'm pretty sure in Whitestone they made it equal with the residential. It's
right.
It's a 1-1.
Yeah, I always thought it seemed a little too high to me when it was higher at one time,
right.
Where this has probably had maybe more thought put into it, and it's more realistic.
So, Councillor Kekkonen's argument, want to defer this closer to budget time?
I just think at some point it's good to have it sort of aligning with budget process, when that process is taking place, so that if at that point, if the council or the municipality decides that, do you know what, the commercial class really isn't paying their fair share of, so
it gives you some wiggle room.
Yeah.
And then you can have those discussions at that point in time. But
yeah, I buy that. I mean, why not consider it as part of the overall budget process instead of locking ourselves into something we might regret?
Now, would this affect the first billing going out, though?
It's based on last year.
No, because we're just going to collect
first
half of what you paid last year.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if we defer it so we don't have that to go by for when you start sending taxes out. So, in other words, you don't know what the ratios are because we haven't passed it. Is there any chance?
Good question. Are you still going on last year's ratios?
So we would have to get input maybe from Rajan. Maybe we can bring it back to the next meeting if it is going to cause any troubles.
Well, based on the fact that it has been passed later in the year, closer to budget time in previous years, for a certain reason, then...
And that all worked out, so...
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure if it was going to affect him negatively, he'll come back to us with it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we all set up out there, call for deferral. All those in favor?
Otherwise it just becomes a bylaw that you keep passing that you don't even know why you're passing it, and you don't even bother discussing what it actually
and potentially create more work to rescind it and replace it, right? So,
and a good question on is how those numbers were come about. Is that, I don't think that was ever actually a council decision.
Provincial.
It's more provincial thing.
It says here that section 308 and 2 and 3 state the set of tax ratios for every municipality shall be established in accordance with this section. That the tax ratios are the ratios that the tax rate for each property class must be the tax rate for the residential property class, where the residential property class's ratio is 1, and these are determined in Municipal Act Section 308. So they give a range, the province sets a range where you can adjust your
ratios.
So
like that would be fixed at the time that was issued, like in 98 then? Does that make sense? I don't know. It refers to a regulation from 98. Does that mean that they don't change?
I don't know. The regulation is...
Me neither.
They change all the time. So this regulation could...
Anyway, got a bunch of people that don't know that are asking questions, but anyway, so that's not helpful.
I know it often says with the any reference to an act that as amended, so that amendments can be included, but regulation, I don't know how often they're amended. Using another regulation.
Sounds like something we can't touch, to me, anyway, from Mike's readings.
But on the basis we know things have changed since last year, we're probably okay.
Okay. So Resolution 24-22, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-08, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 2018-20, being a bylaw to adopt an accessibility plan, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed and open council with 9th day of January 2024. Discussion? I'm just a bit confused on the way this is put together. I see something from 2018 to 22, and then I see a gap until 24 to 28. I don't know what happened between 22 and 24.
My understanding is that the policy was completed in 2018, and then the four-year plan was after that.
Okay.
And then now the plan has expired, so now we're setting it for 2024 to 2028.
And is the content the same then as it would have been in 2018?
It's fairly similar. INA pulled different plans from similar sized municipalities and then wrote this plan.
Yeah, it was interesting. I thought that's probably what she'd done, and I'd gone through the actual acts themselves, the ones that were referenced. And I'm wondering if we should be a little more careful. I'm thinking of page 4, for instance. It references, now this is under design of public space and standards. It's the third line down. It talks about exterior paths of travel, including sidewalks. That's been a bone of contention forever here, and I'm wondering if we should exclude the sidewalks, because we don't maintain any sidewalks. And if it's in there, somebody's going to say, I would think, that we're responsible then for ensuring that that's accessible during the winter. And that's an MDO situation they own it, so.
Well, I guess we maintain the sidewalks adjacent to this building, but...
Well, that's on the actual property.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. But I understand your point, and you're right. I mean, that by including it, we imply that we do that.
So just take it out.
Yeah.
Or municipally owned sidewalks.
Yes, that might cover us.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's interesting because we do have some from... way back when, historically, they still exist. You can still see remnants of them come down the church hill and along Center Road when you first start in. I guess they're still municipal sidewalks, well, if we don't call them that, but they're probably more of a hazard than anything.
So if you put that in, municipally owned sidewalks, you have to maintain them, right?
Yeah.
So take them out. Because some of them are totally, weren't they buried?
Oh, yes. Some buried, some torn up.
So take out sidewalk.
I would think we could, because what comes out of the Act, and some of these other townships doesn't apply necessarily here, as we adopted before.
Mary, can you tell me the service counter in front of your desk, is it at a height that a person in a wheelchair could see over it? Yeah. How many times have I looked at it? $250,000, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
There's both lights.
Are they?
Okay. And two windows.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm not seeing in here, of course, generally. The 2018 one, I think it listed the different things that have been done over the years, and that just seems to have disappeared, the things that the township has done. With the accessible doors and things like that.
Under page two.
Page
two.
Spot I read that somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still in there?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And it does mention the service desk as redesigning the reception area to accommodate wheelchair access.
I guess the question, when the other one had dates on, we don't need the dates. And I'm not sure if this covered all the things that were in that other one. Done, maybe they're done years ago and it wasn't necessary to put them in here.
Yeah, I don't believe it was carried over. The past achievements are most likely referencing the following plan.
Right.
So
okay.
We'll just move forward with what achievements are done every 4 years.
So that other one disappears? I just can't remember what it said in here. This updates, does it repeal the other one or are they both still in place?
No, so this bylaw is adopting the 2024 to 2028
right.
plan, and then the previous plan is just no longer, because we didn't want to rescind the 2018 bylaw, because that is the policy, and then the
right.
plan is just an addition to the policy.
Right, okay. Like a schedule, sort of thing.
So under design of public spaces, where we're talking about sidewalks, service counters. What's that, the next one, fixed something lines? What are they? Fixed queuing lines.
Sorry, where are you reading?
Yeah.
Design of public spaces, where we were talking about sidewalks?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to go to more concerts, huh? Where you line up and the...
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
in a queue. Yeah.
Queuing lines?
A queue is just a lineup in Canadian terms. Queuing is a British word, so.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I see. I didn't know what it was.
I had British parents, so they use that word all the time. But anyway, so.
In that same area, I see trail. I'm wondering if we should specify the type of trail, because my concern is with the balsam. It was always called, for a reason, the balsam wilderness trail, because it wasn't accessible for most people in wheelchairs, etc. So. And I think wilderness is actually excluded from the things that you have to provide on a trail. And I think that's why we should put...
It's difficult enough for a person without any disabilities, having done it a couple of times, yeah.
Well, can you imagine before it went in,
yeah.
and we had to walk all that area
yeah.
with no path, up and down rocks?
Can I ask a question from page two? And Mary, I know in the past I've asked you about this as well. Speaking as somebody with hearing loss... the first thing that we have at the bottom of that page, you have a document in front of you?
No.
Sure. No? Here. I'll read this and you pick it over. So, this down in here where it says audiovisual systems in the community center with closed captioning. And I don't even know what hearing devices are.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't imply that we have some means like headphones or anything else like that, does it? I mean, does anybody think that we ever had that?
We do.
Do we?
We do have headphones.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was at, the one of the events over Christmas time with a couple people that I know from pickleball that are older than me that simply don't come to the movies, as an example, simply because they can't hear. That affects me absolutely positively, and I've got very expensive hearing aids, and I still can't hear what's being said in a movie. When I get here early enough, I'll ask usually Phil or somebody else, could they turn on closed captioning, because at least then I can follow what's going on in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know, so I'm just wondering if the only headphones that we do have are basically for, like, if we were doing Zoom.
Okay.
So
okay.
It would connect to that.
Okay.
I've never, to tell you the truth, never tried it with a movie or anything
sure.
other than Zoom.
Okay.
And when you walk into the community center, it does have a sign.
Yeah, at the back.
Says, yeah,
I've seen that. But
that's what it is, yeah.
Okay. anyway, it was just of note to find out that there are people that kind of feel isolated, or at least more isolated than they would otherwise be, simply because they don't join in those events because they can't tell what's going on. Right? And I've been part of that. Some of the movies I go to in the community center, I can hear well enough to understand things, but other ones, not so much. Right? And
it's a long time since I've been in a movie theater, but what do they provide, I wonder?
I don't know of any. Well, first of all, I haven't been to a movie theater a very long time either, but I will say, I mean, on a very simple basis, I asked the provider from my hearing aids, which is Hometown Hearing in Parry Sound. They gave me devices that I plug into the back of my TV, and it actually transmits it through Bluetooth and uses my hearing aids so that I can hear 10 times better than anybody else on earth, because I hear the ambient sound that's in the room, like from the speakers, and I hear it piping right in here, and particularly for conversation, I can hear exceptionally well with that. So I asked her, does she know if that's a particular provider of hearing aids, whether those things are available for that type of situation, because it's dead simple, at least assuming you have a smartphone or something. But I mean, it's dead simple. I just go into Bluetooth and select the device, and then I hear everything perfectly. I was doing that today when I was watching some TV with my wife. And I don't know if the township wanted to pursue that. I mean, who would we talk to about whether our hardware would enable that type of...
I would assume Michael's not put it in, system in.
Can you ask? I mean, or just ask him if I can call him, and I'll talk to him about it. I mean, not just for me. I'm not saying that for anybody else. And maybe there's something on a grander scale that could be done. But I felt bad for those individuals who join in pickleball and other social events, but avoid the movies because... it'd be the same for all of us. If you can't hear what's going on, you don't bother going, right? It's just frustrating. But and again, the devices that I have connected to my TVs were just thrown in with the price of the hearing aids. So, and I would think for somebody like Gordon, that would be good too. So,
devices. I was just looking it up.
Yeah.
Some, but not all movie theater. Like, it depends on like what theater it is, what company you're going to.
Yeah.
So. And they do have, they're called ALDs.
ALDs?
Yeah.
What's that stand for?
Assistive Listening Devices.
Okay.
So you would, you go into the movie, you would say, I need an ALD. And they would...
I just tell people I'm deaf.
Yeah.
Because it's true. But anyway, yeah, I'd be happy to follow up. I mean, and just see what we could do. And again, not for me, for anybody, right? And when I asked the provider in town, I mean, she said, I don't know. She's never dealt with anything like that. But, I mean, it all starts somewhere by somebody making an effort, that's all. But.
The design of public space standards that we were talking about, maybe removing the sidewalks and the trail and that, at the end it says, these standards only apply to new construction.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're...
No, that's key. I think
yeah.
That everybody understands that.
Yeah. So we're okay then. I'm staying in.
So the Balsam Trail isn't new construction?
That's right.
But if you start redeveloping it.
So. Yeah, you have to be a little careful.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah.
You do, yeah.
I don't think any rational person would think somebody that was disabled could manage that trail. So.
Yeah, what was the other thing in there? Oh, I'm just wondering, accessible parking. I'm just not sure now, in the wintertime. Is there a sign up there? I know there is on the building. You can see that when you pull in, but I'm thinking with snow on it, can you tell that those are accessible parking spots out in the main parking lot? There's probably no sign out there. No.
My understanding of that is there has to be a sign that comes up and facing the parking spot you're going into. The ones painted on the ground are not illegal to park in, especially in the winter, because you can make that statement.
Yeah.
My father-in-law, who's now deceased, but and lost his legs 35 years ago, was on all kinds of City of Toronto accessibility stuff and everything else, and you know, that's something near and dear to my heart too, but and there was a great deal of stuff like that, but and he knew that stuff backwards and forwards. He actually won a Lieutenant Governor's Award for the work that he did, but again, just a volunteer, but
yeah.
Sat on all kinds, because you know, to understand this, you got to ask somebody in that position is, what kind of barriers do we have? So
at Belvedere they have a sign, an upgrade
yeah.
sign.
Did they?
Yeah, like the grocery stores too, right? They They have the post indicating which is the handicap parking. So, is that something we got to consider?
Do we have any complaints from people about?
Not that I've received personally, but I don't think it would take much to order a couple signs and Greg can install them.
The only thing I'll tell you is that it causes a problem for snow removal.
That's true.
Right?
Because it's very hard to navigate when you certainly don't want to hit
it. Well, even if the sign was at the behind the concrete barrier.
It depends on the location, but in lots of places they simply don't do it because that's the problem. Then how are they going to clear the snow? In other words, if I had spots putting head-to-head and they were all disabled parking or whatever, you really don't want that if you're the guy trying to clear the snow out of the way. And that's usually why people don't do it, is because that poses that. But in the absence of people complaining that I can't get a spot, I mean, I'm not, you know, if there's no problem, let's not, you know, deal with it. But if it came in, I mean, you or I know would see it.
Oh, yeah, we do have a lot of people that do have the wheelchair sticker permits, and they are well used, so I feel like we would receive complaints if there was to be any.
Okay.
I can double check with the library as well to see if they've received any.
Sure.
Okay, any further discussion? Comments? All the question, all those in favor? No, opposed, carried. Unfinished business, new business, there are a couple things in there now. So. There was the other resolution too about the impact, I think, was there?
Yeah, which one did you want to do first?
Doesn't matter.
This one, maybe, and then we'll go back.
We have resolution 24-23, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby authorize the Mayor to contact Bob Hughes, RHH Engineering, with regards to pending construction upgrades in coordination with the Director of Public Works. Discussion?
I'll cover it. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All questions then? All in favor? None opposed? Carried.
The impact. I was just wondering if we could get, like, you sent out the one today.
Yes.
So council will have a chance to read through that and compare it with the other one. And then if you could also direct staff to provide council with the service level agreement between MPAC and Ontario municipalities. And it was a service level agreement updated August 2019 for review. Like, so that we could look at it and review it and then bring it back.
So do you need that as a resolution written out? Is that?
I can do it without.
Is that good?
I can just add too, that's MPAC have reached out to staff to arrange for another meeting, hopefully next week, to discuss council's concerns with the DSSA. So if council has any specific concerns that they're wanting answered, please email myself or Ina. We can bring them up at the meeting.
So can we not council meet with them?
That could be an option as well. If council would like to hold a meeting with MPAC, we can put that option to them as well.
I think that's
I would prefer that, but I don't want that to be a showstopper if that's a problem. But
I can reach out to MPAC and see if that's an option, and then if it's not, then I can come back to council and say that it's not. But that would be a good option for sure.
Well, that sounds good. It might be a Zoom situation, but I don't know where they're out of.
I think Caitlin's at Perry Sound.
Okay.
Her manager may be on Zoom because she's further away, but.
Is it Anaheim? Is she gone?
No.
Somebody else? Okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Lynn?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think they've always been accommodating for having open discussions. And
they've always come to the municipal association meetings.
Yeah. Yeah, they've always been welcoming to questions and discussions. So.
So if that was set up, we would have to, I guess, narrow the focus of what they're going to be talking about, because you don't want people coming in talking about the properties. evaluation, that's what they often come for. So you just want to make sure we're talking about the agreement as such.
Yeah.
Public is here to listen to that if they want. But
I don't know, because the agreement that they provided said it was not a public document.
Okay.
That
sounds
true.
Like a closed meeting then.
Yeah. Then we can have a discussion as...
I can ask MPAC if it's appropriate to have an open meeting, but the actual agreement is not released to the public, but the open discussions take place. I can see if they prefer it to be open or closed.
Mm-hmm. Either way is fine. We're fighting for the public anyways, so...
Okay, committee reports. Anything you attended?
So hopefully tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we'll see some McKellar counselors and...
Speaking of which, do you have the Zoom link for that?
It got sent out. So do you need the Zoom link?
Yes, I may. I don't know. Depends. I haven't been outside in the last few hours, but I may need that link.
I'll forward it to council.
You may not be able to get outside. The doors will be buried in snow.
So...
Time to get there. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if she needs to have the specific...
names.
Yeah, because with the OSA, the Ontario Association of Police Service Board,
I'm surprised they let me in there.
You couldn't attend the Zoom meeting unless they had your email address.
Right. Yeah, you had to do that first. You're right.
And then you had to accept on their the email that they send out, and if you wanted another date, then they would cancel that invitation that they sent out.
Okay, I'll attend in person. but it would be nice to have that, like you're allowing the Zoom link, right?
Yes. So. Just because there are, the representatives from the Ontario Association of Police Service Boards, they indicated that they will not be attending in person just because they're coming from Cambridge or someplace. So
it's 9 o'clock?
9
a.m.
9 a.m. Yeah, I'll pop your heart room. And if you don't know where that is, the easiest way is just go through the lobby, go to the elevator, take the elevator up. When you step out of the elevator, just stay to your right.
To your right? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Because it's quite a maze if you try any other...
Are members of the public allowed to attend that too?
No, this is just for those representatives who have been
invited
and are represented at CPAC.
Okay.
So you'll need your transfer station card?
My secret decoder ring to get in, yeah. So
so I have just a quick report for the library. So the library is going to put out tenders, RFPs, for the construction work that they want to do in the library and also the electrical work. And you're all the chamber, right? Is there a possibility that they could advertise their RFPs on the chamber website?
I haven't seen them do that for anybody else, but I mean I can ask.
If you could. Yeah, ask.
I've got a meeting, if not this week, then next week with them anyhow. So
just trying to get it out to a bigger audience.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that we could put it on the township website also?
Yeah, we can do that. And then too, if the library wants to connect with Chris, he can suggest contractors to invite to tender.
Oh, okay.
And then the library can be provided with their email addresses, and then they can send out the tender directly to contractors.
Okay. And I don't know if it's possible to put it. I don't think it'd be possible to put something on the sign outside.
We could put something short to say that the RFP or the library is doing renovations. See the township website for RFPs or something like that.
If you could think of something and it
would
work, that would be great.
Debbie, would you want them to publish it to their members, which would include construction companies for certain, or put it on their Facebook page, which would be kind of weird if they did that. I don't know, maybe.
Just find out, see if there's some way I can ask both questions and just see.
I mean, to reach the broadest audience, right?
Yeah.
So. Okay. Because they do a lot of internal, just to members only things, and they're having, I know what it is, next week, next uh, Monday or Tuesday is their AGM. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I know they have.
Even if, like, it'll just be like, you know, library's looking for, or is putting out tenders, go to the library website, you know, and put the site on there or something.
Well, certainly I can ask. All I can do is say no.
Hey, any other committee reports?
Probably we'll send out the Zoom link in case.
Yeah.
Okay. So that you'll have that, and then you can always contact Rebecca Johnson if somehow you can't. Just send her an email and ask if, or I can add you to the list.
Yeah. No, I'll try to get in.
Okay.
Or worst case scenario, too, we could have the meeting set up in here.
Yeah.
So the members of council could come to the council chambers and Zoom in. Since I will log in.
I
don't know
for sure. So
okay.
What's that for? Oh, for
tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Okay.
As long as you don't reach for them.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. Well, it's an educational thing, so I just don't know because how that would be interpreted. We're not dealing with anything at this stage but progressing council business, and it's information gathering, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Whether you have, if you had a quorum, that's a problem or not. Because I know when we went to the Municipal Association meeting, we certainly had a quorum there. But
as long as you're not advancing the business of the township, that's basically the wording I think came out of the report.
As long as when you're sitting here and you're talking, you know, through Zoom, you say, we've just decided here as a council.
Okay, Resolution 24-24, moved by Councilor Kekkonen and second by Councilor Zulak. The result of the Council of Corporation of Township of Keller hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that? Councilor Ryan?
The document, which is quite a number of pages, from Clearview Township about the cemetery transfers and abandonment. Do we know if these issues affect us as well? How many cemeteries do we have that we manage?
I believe two.
I recall three, but I don't know. I'm uncertain.
Sorry, are we two? Are we two active cemeteries? But we own
three
active.
Because I mean, it's quite a I was going to say damning report. I don't know if it's a damning report. It certainly raises a great deal of concerns about the costs of this, and particularly the ones that are transferred to a municipality. And I just wondered if we face any of the same issues. I think I had just, honestly, I had no idea, no involvement with these kinds of things, and just wondered if this causes us the same kind of problems, even if we only have two, right? I mean, you know, basically that the funds raised don't cover the costs, and this just goes on in perpetuity, right? And obviously that's a real concern for anybody with a cemetery they need to maintain, right? So I thought it was quite well written and quite understandable, and I felt very sympathetic to them anyhow in terms of the issues they raised. But I mean, it doesn't change my opinion that we should receive it. It was quite pronounced, and when I read it, that's all. So.
Well, I think it's done on a regular basis anyway, looking at the costs of the interments and the plots, and I think the staff does that to make sure that, and it used to be a separate cemetery board, that's now the council.
Yeah.
I know we haven't had a meeting as such, but whether we talked about it in committee of the whole as opposed to being an actual cemetery board or a committee. And I think costs are covered that way. And if anything was out of line at some point, that could be caught.
I believe Roshan increased them last year.
Yeah. It's quite disturbing, I guess, might be the right word for it when I read it. That's all. And I think it leads to just other things being abandoned. And Clearview Township, which I don't really know where they are, has clearly stated that they'd like the province to direct the process anyhow as to how it should be done. And anyway, it's not good news. But
one of the big problems I know down east, where they actually had erected them up on higher ground, and then the erosion taking place, and the cemeteries are being destroyed. They're washed into the sea. And they're looking for provincial help down there, too, to help solve that problem. But because that's a relocation problem, sure, almost, unless you can somehow secure the framework around it. But anyway,
yeah, that's fine. I just
call the question. All those in favor? On the whole, carried. Any questions from the public? Open to the public.
One at a time, please.
Resolution 24-25, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskin, be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-09, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council, first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed at open Council this 9th day of January 2024. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. And resolution 24-26. Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Keckley, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourned this meeting at 9:10 p.m. to meet again on January 23rd, 2024 at the Call of America. Okay, now we are meeting on the 19th.
Yes.
Is that good? That's a regular meeting, that's fine. January 19th, 2024 at the Call of America. All questions, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, Mary. I know there wasn't too much activity on there.